Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Spotlight Show. You can check me out on Twitter, at Total Tutor, and neilhaley.com. And oh my, I'm excited always when I get to interview Triumph Book authors. So I continue with that tradition, and I always love talking history. So I'm excited to welcome the program author Jesse Temple, author of 100 Things Wisconsin Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Jesse, thanks for calling. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me on, Neil.
Absolutely, Jesse. So when they came to you and said, go ahead, come up with 100 things about Wisconsin sports, especially football and basketball, did you feel that was a challenge when they asked you to do this?
Well, when you're sitting there kind of with a blank canvas, or in my case, a cursor over a blank Word document, it can feel a little bit daunting to come up with 100 different chapters. But as fans of the Badgers know, I mean, there is such a rich history and tradition, particularly football and men's basketball, that those chapters fill up rather quickly. And there's also stories on some of the other sports and people and moments associated with the program. So I'd say the first 90 or so were pretty easy to come up with. And then it was a matter of trying to figure out which ones to get in there and which ones should be left out. So hopefully fans are happy with the 100 chapters that made it in there.
Absolutely. And Jesse, your background, you write for ESPN, but have you been a Badger fan your life? Why did they choose you to write the book?
Not a Badger fan. I didn't grow up in Wisconsin. I actually moved to Madison for my first job covering the Badgers football and men's basketball program. That was for FoxSportsWisconsin.com at the time. So I spent four seasons covering the football and men's basketball program. That included the two amazing runs to the Final Four for the basketball team and a couple of Rose Bowls. And around that time, I was approached to write this book. And actually, I should mention that initially, the late Wisconsin State Journal sports writer Tom Mulhern was approached about this book, and he began the project but was unable to finish it. When I found out that information, when I was approached about the book, it really kind of put it over the top for me that I wanted to kind of honor his memory because, he was a football beat writer for the State Journal for 15 years and was among the best in the business. So that's kind of how it came about.
Absolutely. So let's kind of delve into my favorite moments in Wisconsin sports. You'd say, really? A Pittsburgh guy? No, I'm a huge college sports fan, and I'm going to look at specifically enough the rise of Wisconsin basketball and the ability, as you talked about, when you covered those Final Fours. Now, tell me how that kind of the switch went on, that Wisconsin started competing for national championships at that time period, especially when there's a lot of good college basketball teams. Between two different coaches to the third coach now, how Wisconsin kind of snuck up on people, didn't they?
Well, for the longest time, the football and the men's basketball programs weren't very good, and fans didn't have much to cheer about, and the NCAA tournament was kind of viewed as the holy grail if Wisconsin could just make it into the big dance. And Stu Jackson, who was here in the mid-90s, early 90s, kind of helped to start this turnaround. They finally made the NCAA tournament after 47 years. And then Dick Bennett kind of continued that tradition. He helped his team make a magical Final Four run in 2000. And then, of course, Bo Ryan took over, had a ton of success at the D3 level, spent a couple years at UW-Milwaukee, and then finally made it to Madison as head coach. And, he was obviously a very special coach and helped this program reach new heights, and it kind of culminated with those two Final Four runs. Wisconsin was always very good, always played sound basketball, but finally they had the players that were among the best in the country. Frank Kaminsky was a National Player of the Year. Sam Decker, obviously another first-round pick, and you had guys like Nigel Hayes and Bronson Koenig, young guys who came in, Josh Gosser and Trey Jackson. So it all came together and really just formed one of the most special seasons that Wisconsin has ever had.
Now, Dick Bennett, before the transition, Dick had almost the same philosophy as Bo Ryan, didn't he? That's the difference. You really, if you're from another place like Pittsburgh, you look at the two programs, except better players, the system of delving into really working the ball, low scoring games, it kind of changed a little bit, but Wisconsin grinded out type workman type basketball. That's what Dick Bennett had, and then Bo Ryan kind of followed suit in so many ways, except the more talented players.
You're absolutely spot on with that. And Dick Bennett's style, of course, it was much like Bo. It wasn't about flash or an up-and-down game. It was about understanding the importance of his principles. He preached defense more than most, and he demanded players be patient offensively, set screens, take time off the shot clock. And initially, there was some pushback with players. I read that one player told Bennett in a closed-door meeting that he was a scorer, not a screener. But eventually, you know, Wisconsin reached the NCAA tournament. They won 20 games in the season for the first time, and everybody embraced this style. And this much of the same with Bo Ryan. I mean, not many coaches write a book about the art of passing and fundamentals, but that was what Bo Ryan did. So it was kind of an interesting transition between two men who had very similar philosophies and, of course, shared a ton of success at Wisconsin.
So when Dick Bennett left, and I'm sure this is in the book, finding Bo Ryan with such great success in the D3 level, and then going and saying, okay, we're going to plug him in with the same idea, did Dick have anything to do with the successor? Because you'd think it would be someone off his bench.
No, Bo had a long, long history of being in Wisconsin. Everybody around here knew who he was. He first came to Wisconsin in the 70s, so, you know, I think for him this was kind of his dream job. And, of course, he spent so many years at UW-Platteville winning national championships and then went to UW-Milwaukee because he wanted to be a Division I coach. So after 2 years at Milwaukee when the job opened up, Bo was the perfect guy and everything. I guess the stars aligned, you could say. So I think it had more to do with Bo's success within the state and him knowing, you know, this was the job that he always wanted. And, you know, there's this idea at Wisconsin that you want a coach who wants this to be a destination job, and that's what it was for Bo. And, of course, it worked out for all sides.
Absolutely, and we'll talk about more of the book is those two. Those two are probably the bit most famed in the book, right? Ranking wise, that you put in the 100 things were both those coaches I just mentioned, correct? For basketball.
No, well, I mean, Barry Alvarez is actually chapter one, and rightfully so. And I should mention that Barry was kind enough to write the foreword for this book. I mean, more of the chapters focus on football. I'd say at least 40 and at least 30 are about basketball. But Barry is the reason that the program is where it is, the athletic department as a whole. I mean, of course, a lot of people know the story, but when he came here in the early 90s, they were $2.1 million in debt. They had bad programs. Barry immediately said he was going to turn this program around and kind of raise some eyebrows, but 4 years later they won the Rose Bowl and kind of the rest is history. The football team's been a top 25 program pretty much ever since. Barry's been the athletics director for more than a decade and helped turn things around. So, you know, Barry Alvarez is extremely important. Bob Johnson, the famed hockey coach, Pat Richter, Ron Dane. I mean, those are some of the names that are in the first 10 chapters in addition to guys like Bo Ryan.
Gotcha. Okay. I guess I'm the basketball fan. I was going in different directions, but you're right with Barry Alvarez, not just the ability to win as a football coach, but as an athletic director. How many years did he coach? And I'm sure that's in the chapter and step down to become the AD. Did that help the basketball program in your opinion? Him now looking at other sports, not just the control of how he was able to resurrect the football program?
Yeah, well, I mean, Barry was here from 1990 to 2005. He left as the winningest coach in program history, and he had taken over as athletics director in 2004, which is a position he continues to hold. I mean, certainly having a football team win games and make money for the athletics department helps everyone. I mean, it can help fund other venues. The Kohl Center, for example, is a newer venue at Wisconsin, but I think that is kind of the spark that got everything going. Now, you need the right coaches in place in every sport. Just because Barry is successful in football doesn't mean the basketball team's automatically going to win games, but I think he was the spark that ignited kind of what's been a magical run here the last 25 or so years. Wisconsin has been nationally relevant in football and men's basketball almost every year, and you can't say that about very many programs across the country.
No, both together, and that's the impressive part that you see. You're right, football and basketball, national-type powerhouse. I don't want to talk about what happened to my Pitt basketball team, but they've fallen apart. If I was I no wonder the AD already cut and loose. He knew this was going to be a tremendous, awful situation. So then you got Pitt program used to have, you know, almost similar, but Wisconsin, you're right, top five, Final Four, Rose Bowl, possibilities of national championships with both programs. How many other schools can we talk about like that? We could say Michigan at times, but not really. But the consistency. Yeah. So that's again a testament to Alvarez and just again the whole university and president saying, we want to win and we want to do well. So that's, I'm sure, a big thing, yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You can probably count on one hand the programs that every year are top 25 or top 10 in both sports. You know, for years it's been Michigan State. Michigan State's basketball program not having the greatest year, but it is interesting because sometimes there are these perennial powerhouses in basketball that aren't very good in football. I think of Kansas, which is where I grew up. North Carolina has a, you know, solid football team, but the basketball team is what you think of. The same with Kentucky. I think UCLA now is pretty solid in both areas, but very select few that are good in both. And just look at this year as a kind of a microcosm of the last 25 years for Wisconsin. The Badgers were in the national title discussion until nearly the end, won the Big Ten West, played in a New Year's Six bowl game, and the basketball program right now, top 15, rolling toward a potential Big Ten championship in basketball and a high seed in the NCAA tournament. So this has been a special run, and I'm sure for fans who are around for the lean years, they can particularly appreciate what's gone on. I think for maybe the younger generation, this has become the expectation. But, you know, success breeds success, and that's how it is.
So we got that completely down. Let's go to one of the history. How did the mascot come about, the Badger? Is it because of the state, or how, like, do you have a story in your book about that?
Yeah, I do. So the man responsible for, there used to be an actual Badger that, I mean, I guess this is more about the mascot, but there used to be an actual Badger that ran onto the field, but because it was an animal, sometimes it would burrow in the corner and didn't provide much spirit for the university. And there was a guy named Bill Soxey, and he wore a costume back in 1949, I think, that pumped up Wisconsin's crowd at sporting events. And initially it was made out of, like, paper mache that was designed for him. And but the nickname itself dates back to way back into the 1820s. Wisconsin was named the Badger State because there was an association of lead miners here way back then, almost 200 years ago, that lived – they were said to have lived like badgers in tunnels burrowed into hillsides in the winter. So the Badger was Wisconsin's official mascot, I guess, since the inception of intercollegiate football back in 1889. So even before there was an official mascot or an official animal that was on the sideline, they were known as the Badgers. But, that, you know, the mascot itself kind of came into fruition in the mid-20th century, and it's been here ever since. And actually, there's kind of an interesting story that in 1973, there was an assistant attorney general. His name was Howard Koop, and he suggested that Bucky be replaced by Henrietta Holstein, which was a cow. It was like a lovable, productive cow in the state, and he said that kids loved cows and that a generation could grow up supporting the university and Henrietta Holstein, and that got shot down immediately. So instead of Wisconsin being the cows, they remain the Badgers to this day. So that's a little bit of the history behind how Wisconsin became known as the Badgers and how Bucky Badger came about as well.
That's an awesome story. And then so you talk about other sports as well. Not just basketball and football and those 100 things, right? That's sometimes
yeah,
those
yeah,
100
men's hockey,
things do not do that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, there's some chapters on men's hockey, and I mentioned Bob Johnson, the legendary hockey coach, who kind of helped kickstart this program back in the 60s. And, of course, you know, his son Mark Johnson is now the women's coach, was very successful with the men's program as well. And there's some chapters on women's hockey and other, I guess, key moments or figures in other sports, Lee Kemp in wrestling, Donna Shalala, who was, you know, president of the school back in the early 90s. So, yeah, I mean, it's mostly football and men's basketball, but there are things about women's volleyball and other important moments in those sports as well.
I didn't know that's why he's called Badger Bob. I should have thought of that when he was with the Penguins. That's why Badger
yep.
Bob. Thank you for giving
that's
me that.
Absolutely right. Yep.
Duh. You know, because it could be other Badger, right? He could look. They might have thought he looked like a Badger. Didn't know it was because of Wisconsin. So, how many NHL famous NHL coaches were successful in college as well? That would be a good question for a trivia, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, as I say in the book, he remains the only coach to have won an NCAA and an NHL championship. So, I mean, there's a reason that he was a Hall of Famer, and of course, as you mentioned, was named Badger Bob, won a Stanley Cup title in what ultimately turned out to be his last season with the Penguins. But just a beloved figure in Madison, won, you know, so many national titles for the Badgers, and as I said, helped this program become what it is, because they kind of tried to restart the hockey program in the 60s, and after 3 years or so, Bob Johnson joined the program, and he won 367 games in 15 seasons. So, of course, as I said, a legendary figure in Madison and Badgers athletics.
All right, Jesse, best place we can find info, we can purchase this at triumphbooks.com. You have a website, social media-wise, people can check you out and stuff. Where can we go?
Yeah, well, if you're interested in the book, you can just Google it, really, 100 Things Wisconsin Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. But it's available on Amazon right now, other online outlets, Triumph Books, as you said, and local bookstores around the state of Wisconsin. So if you're interested, there should be a place for you to find it.
All right, well, fantastic. Thanks for taking the time. You're busy as can be. A little bit of a break, right, before March Madness. Be ready, right? You're going to be busy.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Jesse. Take care. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay.